Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Okay, last week we went to the top of a high mountain for the transfiguration of Jesus, in which he became so radiant that it was really difficult for Mark to even describe what that was like when he was trying to write it down for his gospel. And Moses and Elijah came alongside him and had a conversation with him, and that conversation confirmed for the three disciples who were there that, oh yeah, what Jesus told us about his coming death and resurrection, that's even Elijah and Moses know about that. And so then a cloud descends and God speaks, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." You hadn't been, he's essentially saying, you haven't been listening to him. It's time to start listening to him. And it all goes away. And today we're going to meet up with them as they're basically returning to civilization. And we're going to finish out chapter 9. This is going to be the hugest chunk of scripture we have taken on in any one lesson. And so I'm not reading it all today. I'm going to tell some of it in my own words. But the section we have remaining, which is verse, I think from verse 14 through the end, which is verse 41, divides into basically three segments with three different things happening. We're going to take a main point from each one of those segments to support what the overall theme here is in chapter 9. And the overall theme is basically Jesus wants us to be in last place. Now that sounds backwards, because in our culture we're always wanting to strive to be in first place. We want to be the winner. We want to be at top of the pack, you know, top of the mountain, always coming in first, even if we have to step on somebody to get there. And Jesus corrects that sort of thinking in the disciples and in us in the lesson today. And we'll look at a point having to do with that in each one of these sections. I would say I'm better today at not insisting on being first than I was at some time earlier in my life. I'm not so sure I'm really good at choosing to be last. But that's where Jesus is asking us to go. But let's talk through some examples. Okay, when I go to a wedding reception and there's food involved, right? I don't like being last when there's food involved. Anybody there with me? Okay. So when they're about to, you know, serve the meal, they usually ask everybody to sit down. So what do? I look for a table close to where the head of the line is going to be, right? Then, of course, they start on the other side of the room. But so I failed. Did anybody else do that? Okay. Let's say you're in stop-and-go traffic, right? Stop-and-go traffic, and you see there's an exit. You could take that exit, and then you get back on at the next entrance, and you jump ahead about 20 or 30 cars. Do you do that? Or you're looking for a parking spot in the Walmart or HEB parking lot or whatever, Kroger, and you notice there's one right over there pretty darn close to the door, but there's somebody over there kind of headed in that same direction. So you speed up, put your blinker on as a sign, hey, that's my spot. Anybody do that? The sad thing is that we do those kind of things often without even giving any thought to them. We lead such busy lives that we've got to get there first so we can get that task over with so we can move on to the next one. Why is that? Could it be that we are still living life for ourselves? We're still living life for ourselves. Or you might kind of justify, it's like, you know, I'll never see that person again that I just cut in front of or whose parking spot I just took. So what harm is it? What if next Sunday that person you cut off shows up for church for the first time? And they recognize you as the person who cut them off. That's a different story then, isn't it? It's like rushing to get that parking spot might have disgraced the gospel. Next time you're tempted to jump in front of somebody or cut in traffic or go get that one parking spot, I want you to picture Jesus in line or Jesus driving that other car, and then ask yourself, do you really want to go rush and take that spot? We're going to cover a lot of scripture, so we're going to jump in now, but I wanted you to kind of get a flavor for, hey, this involves us. We are guilty here, just like the disciples. We're guilty. The main point here is how to be last. That's what we're going to be answering with the 3 points, is how to be last. And in this first section, we briefly touched on it last Sunday, is verses 14 through 29 approximately. The 12 had been reunited. Remember, the 3 had gone up on the mountain. They met up with the 9. The 9 had, and at the time they met up with them, they had just failed at something. A father had taken his son, apparently maybe a young man at that time, to them to have a demon cast out of him. He was deaf and mute as a result of this demon, and the 9 had failed. They couldn't do it. Well, Jesus and the other 3 come along down from the mountain. Jesus, of course, casts the demon out, no problem, right? So when they get to themselves in private, they ask Jesus, why couldn't we drive that demon out? Jesus had just a few words in response to that. He said, this kind come out only by prayer. This kind come out only by prayer. Now, a lot of folks will take that and they'll come up with some sort of formula for casting out demons or healing the sick or whatever. I want us, if you take this in the context of all that's going on in chapter 9, what we see here is Jesus is chastising the disciples for trying to go it alone. They've kind of grown used to this power at this point, right? They've been healing and casting out demons now for some time, and they've been kind of started taking it for granted. And instead of going to the Lord in prayer and asking for that empowerment to do what they're supposed to be doing in a way that glorifies the Lord, they started doing it in their own strength instead of using prayer. When I set out to prepare a message each week, I usually take, 4 to 5 different sessions through the week, a couple hours, sometimes 3 hours at a time. My goal is to start each one of those sessions with prayer, asking God to guide me, guide my thoughts, help me to be focused, and to dwell on what it is that He would desire me to say on these Sunday mornings. But there are times, and I've too frequent than I wish to admit to, when I see that I've got some time, I rush into doing what I think I need to do, And I'm there for 20, 30 minutes, and I have no focus. I'm not making any progress, and I realize I failed to start with prayer. I failed to go to the Lord with prayer and ask Him to give me the focus I need, to give me the thoughts I need. Is anyone else ever guilty of that? You just want to get it done. You just assume He's going to be there. You know, it's going to come, but you're not giving God the glory. So, point number one, make prayer the precursor to all you do. This gets at what I would call maybe the main purpose of prayer. Because I believe the main purpose of prayer is for you essentially to say, God, You are first. You're first. What does the Lord's Prayer start with? Our Heavenly Father. It's essentially saying, hey, God, You're first. You're first, and prayer is your opportunity to say, I'm last. I'm last. Show me how to serve You. Show me how to serve those You want me to serve. That's prayer. So let's move on to section two. We're going to read verses 30 through 37 there. They left that place where He had just healed, kicked the demon out of the young man, and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because He was teaching His disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill Him, and after 3 days He will rise again." This is the second time He's giving them this message, right? We've heard this before. They apparently hadn't gotten it yet. But they did not understand what He meant and were afraid to ask Him about it. They came to Capernaum. We know He spent a lot of time in Capernaum. He's back. He's back to Capernaum. When He was in the house, this is likely Peter's house because that's the house they typically used when they were in Capernaum, He asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom He placed among them. Taking the child in His arms, He said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in My name welcomes Me. And whoever welcomes Me does not welcome it. And whoever welcomes Me does not welcome Me, but the One who sent Me, the Heavenly Father." So, when Jesus left that high mountain, He started a road that was going basically as straight as possible to the cross. It took Him through Galilee, took Him through Capernaum. This is what happens when He's in Capernaum. And because He's headed to the cross, He is extremely focused now on teaching His disciples, getting them to start really digesting His teaching. It's not so much about the miracles from this point on. He's trying to get them to get this. Now, granted, they don't get it until He's dead and rises again. But He's planting those seeds that will take root after the resurrection. So, it's time for them to grasp what's coming on ahead of them. Jesus knowingly asked them what they were arguing about on the road as they journeyed there. They didn't respond. Of course, Jesus already knew that they had been arguing over who was greater than who, right? Can you believe it? Jesus just tells them He's going to die. And somehow they morphed that into an argument over who's greater than who. And I had a hard time getting my arms around that. And Patsy helped me think through that and said, you know, those three who'd just come down from the mountain, they were feeling pretty special. And they were meeting up with these nine who had just failed at something, right? You know how guys are. Guys like to rib one another. And I could just imagine them saying, you know, we just spent some really special time up there with the Lord. We're his favorite. And you guys, y'all are, what are you doing down here? You can't even cast a demon out. You know, this kind of thing, the kind of ribbing that takes place between guys, and only there might have been a little seriousness to it. They might also have actually taken what Jesus said about dying and rising again and gone the next step. What was the next step after him rising? Maybe he's going to come back at that time and be the conqueror that we've wanted him to be, and he's going to need some generals. He's going to need some folks to come alongside of him. Hey, that's us three that went up the mountain. That's why he took us up there. I'm just guessing the sort of things that might have been said at that time. Jesus knows all about this stuff. He says, okay, it's time for me to play the rabbi and get serious. He sits down, says, 12, come. Sit with me. Got something I want to say. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Punch them right in the gut. Here they'd been arguing about who's going to be first, and he's telling them to be last. And what's more, okay, the whole statement begs a question. There's a lot in that little short statement. It begs a question. If anyone wants to be first, where? I mean, where is he talking about being first? Obviously, he's telling them to be last, so where is it that he's going to be first after being last? It's not in the here and now, because he's saying in the here and now, be last. So he's obviously talking about what's beyond the here and now. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about eternity. If you want to be first, or at least honored in heaven, then you need to be last here. You need to be last here. And folks, for the longest time in my life, and maybe you're like me, I just pictured this heaven as like, you know, everybody who gets there. We're all just buddy-buddy, and we're all the same. Everybody's the same. That is not what Scripture teaches. Scripture talks about rewards in heaven. There are over 30 passages in the New Testament that talk specifically about rewards in heaven, and not everybody gets them. It talks about those who get a reward for XYZ. I'm glad of that, not because I think I'm going to be one of those who gets a bunch of rewards, but I think of folks who died for their faith, got burned at the stake because they would not recant their faith in Jesus. Now, I want that person to have a very special place of honor in comparison to me, right? He's not on the same plane as me. If you want to have some level of honor in heaven, you need to be humble and last and a servant of all here. And I'm not saying we should be motivated by being first in heaven. We should be motivated by Jesus calling us to be last here, calling us to be servant of all here. And this was very difficult stuff for the disciples, just like it is for us. In Jewish culture, it was a big deal, for example, the closer you got to sit to the head of the table, the more honor you had. Everybody wanted to be elevated. You wanted to be sitting close to the head of the table. If you wanted honor in the Jewish religion, you wanted to know you had most of the Torah memorized. You wanted to be known for keeping every jot and tittle of every proscription any rabbi ever said. So we do the same thing. We want to be influential. Our culture tells us to be influential, be wealthy, be famous. And ultimately, unfortunately, we pass that on to our kids, too. We do it at a young age, teaching them to be first in everything, even if it means stepping on somebody to get there. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. The awards and accolades we get on earth will be absolutely meaningless in heaven. In fact, they may work against us there. After punching his disciples in the gut with this admonition, Jesus takes a small child, places him among them. I don't know, maybe he played with him for a while, but eventually pulled him into his arms, and he said, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." So he's basically saying, love on a small child is like loving on your heavenly Father in heaven. It's the same thing. And yet in their culture, kids were to be hidden and silent. And for a rabbi to bring a child into a formal teaching session would have been unheard of. So this was a very profound statement he was making by bringing this child in their midst and embracing the child in front of them as he is teaching them. We have a hard time realizing that in our culture because we really do, we elevate children. We do a good job of elevating children. Maybe too good a job. Anyway, we'll let that go. Point number two, put others ahead of yourself. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Put others ahead of yourself. By putting others ahead of yourself, you are essentially putting yourself in last place, as Jesus is calling us to do. Let's move on to the third and last section of Scripture, where we see another way in which the disciples and us tend to put ourselves first, and we tend to spiritualize it. Okay, we tend to make it religious-like. Mark tells us that right after this teaching about being last, the disciple John pipes up and he says, "We saw someone driving out demons in your name. And we told him to stop because he was not one of us." He was not one of us. Interesting. They apparently had seen somebody successfully casting out demons right after they had been unsuccessful, and they told him to stop. Why? Because he was not one of us. You ever been guilty of that? You know, thinking less of someone from a different church, a different brand of religion, Christian religion, I'm saying. We're going to say this Christian religion. A different tribe. They're from a different tribe, let's call it. Because this is called, tribalism is the fancy word for this. Where you have your tribe and you think more highly of your tribe than all the others. Because you've got everything right. You do it all well and you got the truth. Jesus' response to their tribalism was this in verse 39. "Do not stop him. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward." Remember me saying there are over 30 passages in the New Testament about rewards? This is one of them. There's a reward for giving a cup of water to someone who's following the Messiah. That's what he's saying here. And that person doesn't have to belong to your tribe. Now granted, there's some figurative figurative speaking going on there. He's not necessarily talking about a cup of water, but he is saying, be helpful to one another as fellow believers. I love the fact that our small groups are open to anybody who wants to come. You don't have to be a member here. You can even choose to worship somewhere else. And you can come be a part of one of our small groups and be blessed by the fellowship. That's great. That's the way I think the Lord would have us do it. I am very proud of who and what we are here in Community Fellowship. And I hope that as time marches on, we don't, if we're not careful, we may be subject to a bit of arrogance, a bit of haughtiness, a bit of self-righteousness, and thinking, we've got it. We've got it right. This is exciting. This is good. Everybody else ought to do it like we do. I pray that we can choose not to do that as we move forward, that we can choose to partner with and work with other believers from throughout the community and beyond. Third point is avoid tribalism. All believers belong to the same Messiah. All believers belong to the same Messiah. Avoid tribalism. Be supportive of them. Be encouraging of them. Find the common ground. In our last verse for today, and by the way, if you could go back to verse 41. I didn't put it there in the program, but if you'll go back to verse 41, this is our last thing we're going to take up. In our last verse for today, Jesus says, there is a reward for you, even for something as simple as giving a cup of water to one of his own, one who serves him. That is clearly an encouragement for us to be helpful to all of his servants. All of his servants. So, we're going to review those three points. Point number one, make prayer the precursor to all you do. Number two, point others, put others ahead of yourself. And number three, avoid tribalism because all believers belong to the same Messiah. We're going to pray here in just a minute to close out the service, but before I do, I want to remind folks of the member meeting, our first member meeting that's going to take place right after church. We'll pause for a minute after the last song for folks who are not going to stay to exit, but I would encourage if you want to visit, do so out in the hallway. For the sake of those who are staying, we want to be able to get the business meeting started as quickly as possible, but we will have about a 5-minute break before we start into the business meeting. Let's pray. Most Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and worship you freely here at Community Fellowship. And while we're happy for what we have going here, we want to be happy for what you're doing in all of the churches in our community. We thank you that you are working in all of us. And help us find ways, Lord, to be encouraging of that work in and through each and every follower that you have in this community. And Lord Jesus, help us to do it humbly. Help us to undertake everything we do humbly, seeking to put you and all you have made ahead of ourselves. Help us to be that servant of all that you call us to be. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.